Blog Talk Radio.
Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me."
God. Good morning. Good afternoon for those on different time zones. It's still morning here, and praise God. Thank you so much for joining me for Personal Heart Radio. It is 11 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday, May the 5th. I hope all of you are doing wonderful, and the topic of our show today is at what cost. Often, especially in this generation, people are esteeming what the world offers more than what God would have to offer. And I don't blame this younger generation, because biblical teaching, sound biblical teaching, is becoming more scarce, and people are not preaching from, and they don't realize, this new generation is not realizing being brought up from the Bible, and they don't realize the power that the living word has. And so they look at the people on TV as their role models. They look at the dancers and the singers, and they want to dress like them. They want to be like, but at what cost? At what cost is a person willing to lose their soul because they want to be like somebody? They want to be like the created instead of the creator who is greater. So the focus of our show today is, as always, is to lift up Jesus. My name is Aaliyah. I am the president of Personal Hearts, and our website is www.personalhearts.org. We are a ministry. And a few years ago, I simply believe that a person should do what they teach. I was ministering. I was second in charge of a medium-sized ministry. It was large at one point, but it became medium-sized, and it stayed there, of a medium-sized ministry, and God spoke to me. And I would say, at the time when we would do tithes and offerings, I would say, "Father, who should I choose to do tithes and offerings?" And the Holy Spirit said to me, "Don't choose any person that doesn't tithe." You know why? Because they won't have the anointing. They won't have the anointing to preach what the Holy Spirit will tell them, because they're not doing what the Holy Spirit told them to do, which is to tithe. And so Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, people will say, "Aaliyah, why is the same person ministering in tithes and offerings? Why is the same person? Month after month, you already have this person. How come you don't choose a new person?" And I had to tell them the truth. I said, "I only choose people that tithe." And you know what? No one ever came up to me again and asked me that question, because they were not tithing. They understood. They understood. So that was for someone. Praise the Lord. Tithing is important. You say, "Oh, I don't want to tithe. That's giving my money to somebody." You know what? The Bible instructs us to tithe and instructs us to put meat in God's storehouse. And you know what? Try it. God says to try me. Prove me now and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing which you don't have room enough to receive. Try me. Reason with me. God is pleading with you to try him. I am led to tithe 12%, 11%, however God tells me, because it says tithes and offerings. So not just the 10%, but you have to give an offering too. So I always give a percentage more that covers my offering, or whatever amount that God tells me to give, that's what I give. And so, and you know what? I'm going to tell you this. Nothing in my house, clothes that I wear, and God forgive me, I don't need to buy any more new clothes, but I have clothes that are 20 years old, 25 years old. I have shoes My shoes always last me a long time. I rarely need to buy shoes. I buy shoes if I'm going somewhere, like in cold weather where it's snowing, or if I need sandals, because I give my shoes away. And so I buy more and I give them away. I buy more, I give them away. So I rarely need to buy shoes, but I buy shoes because sometimes I need some sandals or something like that if I'm going to the beach. But I rarely need to buy any boots or you know, sandals or just, you know, your regular go-to shoe because they last me so long. Because God says when you tithe, he will what? He will rebuke the devourer for our sakes. And praise the Lord, I believe that the Holy Spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit is real. I believe in online gifts of the Spirit, which the Holy Spirit has. And I'm just a vessel. I'm a straw. I'm a vessel that God speaks through. I don't think on my own. I don't have any desires on my own opinions. My opinions are Father's opinions. I do what Jesus says, and I do what he does, what he wants me to do, because I want to please him. Because you know why? This world is temporal. This world is not going to be the same. This world is not going to last. This world is going to burn and all the elements in it. So why are we striving to be like someone that God created? Why are we striving to looking up to a mortal person when we, in our example, our role model is Jesus? You know what Jesus said? He said, I want you to cling to me. You know, you may have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or a spouse who says, you're too needy. Well, you're too needy. You're always touching me. You're always hugging me. But you know what? Jesus will never say that to you. He invites you to be clingy. He invites you to be needy. He invites you to question him, to talk to him every day. He wants that relationship with you. And that's what I love about, I love everything about Jesus. I love that about him, that we don't have to seek people for our happiness. If you're married right now, or if you want to be married, and your sole purpose of being, or one of your reasons for being married is you want someone to make you happy, you're getting married for the wrong reasons. You are setting your marriage and yourself up for failure, because it is not your responsibility to make someone happy, and it is not your potential spouse's responsibility to make you happy. It is your responsibility to make you happy. Now, you can get happiness by buying a car, a house. That will give you temporary happiness. But joy is everlasting. Joy comes when something, you get bad news and you have joy. Joy happens when maybe a neighbor parks in your parking spot and you have joy. Joy happens when people are complaining and you're complaining, but you have joy. Now, I'm going to tell you that's one of God's pet peeves is complaining. So try not to complain, because that's one of God's pet peeves. When you complain, you're telling God, hey, I'm not happy with what you gave me. And you're giving the devil, with complaining is the opposite of faith, you're giving the devil license to give you what you are complaining for. The same thing as grumbling in the Old Testament. When they were grumbling, guess what happened? Father sent snakes and killed about 25,000 people. So praise the Lord, there's so much wisdom and knowledge, and that's for someone about complaining and grumbling. Don't do it. It's complaining and grumbling is what faith is to God. So when you complain and grumbling, you're expressing your faith to the devil. But when you're grateful and thankful, because the Bible says be thankful in all things, you're giving your thanks to God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to get back to what the Holy Spirit had me to say. Like I said, I'm a firm believer in doing what you say. I'm not going to hire a plumber that hasn't been trained to be a plumber. I'm not going to hire a lawyer that went to trade school to be an electrician. I'm going to hire a lawyer who went to law school. I'm going to hire a plumber who went to trade school to learn how to be a plumber or an electrician. In the same way, you should go to Jesus and ask him what it is that you are supposed to be in your life. What is your purpose? You don't have to go to India, Somalia, Tasmania, Brazil, Colorado, California, Texas. You don't have to go to the Bahamas. You don't have to go to remote parts of Antarctica or Greenland or Iceland or Switzerland or Sweden or England to find out your purpose. Now, you may live in one of those places, but you don't have to leave your home to find out who you are to be in this world. I found out what God wanted me to do in my bedroom. I asked him, and you know what? He was pleased with me. He was pleased with me when I asked him that. He was pleased with me. It took him 2-3 weeks to give me an answer. But I asked him, I said, Lord, what am I supposed to, and this wasn't recent. This was years ago. I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do in my life? And right there in my bedroom, I remember. What do you want me to do in my life? What is my purpose here? What am I supposed to be? Because I went to school for journalism. I went to college for journalism and education. I got my bachelor's. Of course, I went to Bible school, of course, in California. And I got my associate's degree, another associate's degree, got a bachelor's degree, got a master's degree, and went to another master's degree, and now my doctorate, my PhD. And I said, Lord, during my master's, you know, work, I said, Lord, what is it I'm supposed to be? I'm going to school. I'm doing all these things. But what do you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? What am I created for? What am I designed to do? What is my occupation? I went to him, and God told me that I'm supposed to be on the radio. He said that I'm supposed to be on the radio. So all this time, I'm going to school for journalism. That was Jesus that put that desire in my heart because he knew what I was supposed to be. I received the training that I needed. I became qualified to do what I'm doing right now with you. I became qualified. I took journalism and my associate's degree. I did it in my bachelor's degree. I did an internship. I'm qualified to do what I'm doing. I have the know-how to do what I'm doing. So you, in the same way, you go and seek Jesus and say, Father, you can do it in your bathroom, but be alone when you don't have any distractions and say, where am I in this life? What am I supposed to do? The Bible says when a person goes find myself. That's not biblical. The Bible calls that person a donkey. The F-O-O-L word. You're never supposed to go find yourself. You've already been found. That's why you were born. You're found already. You were born. You're here. What do you mean? You're not lost. You're here. You're born. You have a purpose. You're not supposed to find yourself. You're supposed to find your purpose in life and what you're supposed to do in your purpose. Now, getting back to our study, I want to go over our scripture for today, and that will be Mark 8:36. And I'm going to read that to you in the King James Version. For it says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In another version, it says, for what does it benefit a person to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Now, when we're talking about saved in that Bible, in that scripture, we are talking about it needs to be kept safe from harm or evil. And gain is the Greek word kardano, and that means to win or gain something. But it also means to be spared or rescued. And soul, of course, means life. It literally means breathing life or the core soul of a person. So when you think about your life or your soul, it means you, the core person, you, a living, breathing, beautiful, magnificently made you. And the reason why Jesus condemned people for their desire for the world is because it separated them from him. Not only when Jesus was offered the things of this world when the devil told him in Matthew 4, chapter 8 through 10, and brought him on a high mountain when Jesus was in the wilderness tempting the devil. And I want to tell you guys this. The devil will always come at your weakest point to be ready in season and out of season. He will always use your weakest point. And so when you're attacked somewhere, know that that is weak. That's a weak area in your life, and you need to strengthen it before it dies. So whenever you're attacked by the enemy, know that that is a weak area in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit for assistance, because there is no way that you or us or me or anyone can defeat the devil in a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle, and he's out for your soul. The devil only wants to do three things. His mode of operandi does not change, but his ways of doing it changes. I mean, he may go through a different tunnel or a different road, but it's the same core. He uses deception. He uses lies. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. If he can't kill you, he'll try to steal you. If he can't steal from you, he'll try to destroy you. Those are his three, that's the three basic premises, and he uses deception. You know why God hates lying? It even says it in Proverbs. He hates lying. Oh, God doesn't hate any. Oh, yes, he does. He hates lying. You know why he hates lying? Because the devil is the father of lies. So when a person lies, he jeopardizes his very integrity. He jeopardizes his very soul. Do you know the weight that God puts on lying? He said a poor man is better than a liar. He said that you would jeopardize your very soul for lying. In Revelation 21:8, I'm going to get that scripture. I should know it by heart. It's one of my main scriptures that I give to people when I get these emails that say I want $1 million from Nigeria, or not Nigeria, but from a foreign country. I don't want to say that for my brothers and sisters in Nigeria. But I do get emails from these countries that say I've won this amount of money and to call, and I just give them Revelation 21:8, and I don't hear from them again. But 21:8 says, now listen carefully. I want you to listen to this. It calls you to miss the rapture, and it will cause you to miss heaven. You don't want to miss heaven. Jesus is coming back. He can come during this show, but he is coming back, and he's coming back sooner than we think. It could be today. It could be tomorrow, but expect it and look forward to it. But more importantly, be prepared for it. And he says, in 21:8 in Revelation, the King James Version, but let me read chapter 7 as well. The chapter 6 is beautiful. And in chapter 5, I'm going to read chapter 5 through 8. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Now, this is after Revelation 21:8. This is after the rapture. This is after the tribulation. This is after the second coming. So the rapture is not the second coming. That's the carrying away of the saints. The second coming happens during the tribulation, or after the tribulation period, when those who had their robes washed white with the blood of the Lamb, he comes, and that's when he comes and casts the devil and the false prophet and the beast in the lake of fire. So this is after all that. This is after all that, all that destruction. The worst thing you would ever can even imagine. You don't want to be in the tribulation. It's not meant for you. It's meant for the ungodly. So you have an opportunity to accept Jesus into your heart now before he comes. You want to go in the rapture, because when you go in the rapture, you'll make the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you are saved during the tribulation period, you're going to make heaven. Hallelujah, praise God. But you're going to go through so much, and you're going to miss the marriage supper of the Lamb. You don't want to do that. So repent. and come to Jesus right now, now, now. Repent of all your sins, even your motives and your thoughts. And if the Holy Spirit puts on your mind about someone whom you've hurt or you need to ask for forgiveness, don't hesitate. Just do it. Just do it. And it'll you know, it might take a long, it might take just a little bit, but you need to do that. Whomever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to ask you to forgive them if you've done them wrong. And he that sat upon the throne, verse 5, 21, and he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Now remember, this is after the devil was in the castle fire forever. The judgment of the white throne has already happened. This is culmination of everything. I make all things new. And he said unto me, this is John he's talking to, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. See, Jesus is done. Everything is finished. The new Jerusalem is here on earth. The saints after the tribulation are their robes are washed white. We are rejoicing. We are praising God. And this is after even 1,000 years that the devil has been locked up. And then he comes back. So you have to read Revelation. It's really important. It'll tell you what's going to happen during the tribulation and after the rapture. And he said, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life. Really, verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, Jesus' words are true. He has everything. He's giving us everything through him. He's not withholding anything from us. He's saying that when you overcome, you will inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving. See there? But fearful. Fear is the opposite of faith. Without faith, no man can see God. You see how that is all connected? But the fearful, which is the opposite of faith, without faith, no man can see God. And you can't receive from God without faith. The unbelieving. And the abominable. And murderers. And whoremongers. And sorcerers, witches, warlocks, people that practice witchcraft, idolaters, anything that you put above God and you idolize. And look at this, all liars shall have their part in the lake. Their part. So you're going to have your own separate little part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you see the price a person has to pay? They lie. It makes me tearful when I think about it, because the Bible says, he that loveth or maketh a lie. Let me read that to you. That's in Revelation 22:15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And in the King James Version, it says, for without our dogs and sorcerers, there's the witch people that practice witchcraft, witches, and whoremongers. See, those are whoremongers are people that have sex outside of marriage. People that are lesbians, homosexuals, sodomites. Be careful. And murderers and idolaters. See, now this is 22:15. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, is telling you what will keep you out of heaven. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters. Remember, an idol is not just something that they worship in the Old Testament, that golden calf. Today in this world, it is anything that you put above him. Sporting event, a game, clothing, covetousness. You only let you have this addiction to shopping. That's an idol. That's idolatry. So So examine yourself and ask the Holy Spirit if you have any idols in your life, and just ask him to remove it. That's if you want to make heaven. That's if you want to please God. Jesus says we are to hate covetousness. He will give you what you need. And also, too, I am a witness. He will give you what you desire, but you have to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness first, and he will add those things. God is not against you having things. He wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to enjoy. If you want a home or a nice car, he wants you to have those things. But he doesn't want those things to have you. He doesn't want those things to swallow you up so that you will lose your soul and that you are so enveloped in all these things in this world and these worldly pleasures that you forget who you are. Don't forget who you are by being swallowed up in the things of this world, because the Bible says everything in this world will burn. But only those that do the will of God will remain. So, 22:15, for without our dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth, and maketh a lie. Be on the lookout, saints. Be on the lookout. Examine yourselves where you've told a lie, or you even procrastinated, or you even have something that's packaged that looks like a lie. That would be perceived as a lie. That's a lie. You want your yea to be yea and your nay to be yea, your yes to be yes and your no to be no. The Bible says anything other than that is sin. Yes and no. I live by that. I tell people I don't have any maybe. If it's a maybe, it's a no to me. If it's a yes, it's a yes. The Bible also says, and this is what I live by too, if it is not of faith, it's sin. So if I'm making a decision and I have doubts about it, I'm not going to go with it. If it's not of faith, it's sin. If it's not a yes, and if it's not a no, if it's a maybe, it's sin. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Your yes be yes, your no be no. Anything other than that is sin. If I am on the fence about something, I don't do it, because the Bible says it is sin because it is not a yes or no. I'm not on the fence. I don't live in a maybe land. It's either yes or no with me. So when Jesus was tempted, he did not sacrifice his own integrity for the world. He would not sacrifice our souls for the comfort of this world. He went to the cross. He bore our sins and shame on the cross. He didn't look to the left or the right. He could have called legions of angels to help him, but that would have forfeited. He would have taken the comfort of the world, and it would have forfeited our souls, but Jesus didn't do that. He didn't sacrifice his integrity for the world. He would not sacrifice his comfort, our souls, for his comfort. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do it. He had a long-term goal, and it was us. He loved us so much. You have no idea what Jesus went through. If Jesus went through what he went through and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what you do, then whatever you're going through, you can forgive. Forgiveness is also one of those things that you can lose your soul for. So I will go in more about this on our next show, At What Cost Do. And I do, I'm not going to apologize for going into other subjects, because the word of the Holy Spirit has free reign in me. He can speak through me. He can talk through me. His gifts are his gifts. I am here to glorify Jesus and not myself. So I want to say thank you for tuning in. I will continue this study at what cost next week, next Friday, for 30 minutes, to having you there. Thank you so much. May God bless you and enjoy your weekend.